Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Welcome to our service this morning at Crosslands, online or in person. We're in our service series, or sermon series, called Triumph and Trials, and we've done this for a few weeks already, and we can break in our trials, or we can become stronger. We can quit, or we can persevere and we can triumph. And so today, we've done a couple of messages already, a few messages about what it means to have trials and what God might be doing in that. But today I want to get really practical. How can we actually grow? What are the things we can do? So today we're talking about growing in character. Before we really jump into the message, a quick heads up. I mentioned last week that we're doing something really fun and new, different for Christmas Eve this year. It will be different, and as much as we don't want to do different, we're going to make it as fun and awesome as we can. So you'll hear a bit more about that as it comes up. And also, with increasing restrictions, we have no idea what kind of conditions we're going to be having our services under next week or the week after. And so we are continuing to be flexible, to respond appropriately as situations change. And if we have to, we do. And in the meantime, we're doing our best. And I know most of us are doing a great job at maintaining your close social circles, your bubbles. And I just want to encourage everybody to keep doing that correctly so that we can be part of the solution and not part of the problem when it comes to the pandemic in Canada. If we have time at the end, we'll entertain text messages. If you have my number, you can text me directly, or you can put it on the YouTube chat and somebody will direct it towards me if we have a question or comment that's relevant. More questions than comments, because if you have a comment, I would encourage those for sure. People can read those on the chat, but questions we'll deal with in the service. So we've been talking over the past few weeks from Hebrews 12, and we find ourselves back in Hebrews 12 today. Hebrews 12, I'm going to read verses 5 to 7. And so the author of Hebrews says this: "Have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said," and he quotes here from Proverbs 3, verses 11 to 12, he says, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as a child. As you endure this divine discipline," that could also be translated, "as you endure in order to become disciplined," which is a very relevant way to look at it for these times, "remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined by its father?" Discipline, man, that's a word we don't like. I don't like the word discipline. And yet, although we associate that word just with punishment, it doesn't mean punishment. If you go to dictionary.com, which is one thing I did, the first two definitions have nothing to do with punishment. The first definition reads something like training to act in accordance with rules, like a military drill. Disciplined soldiers. The second one is activity, exercise, or regimen that develops or improves a skill. If you're a musician or an athlete, you go through exercises, you do the same routines over and over and over so that you become good at it. That's called discipline. If you want to become good at something, you have to exercise discipline in order to become skilled at something. And then finally, there's the aspect of correction. And I think this is the part where we have a problem. I mean, nobody likes to be corrected. Nobody likes to be pointed out that you're wrong. Maybe that's just me. You don't like to be pointed out that you're wrong, but you know what the alternative? The alternative is worse: being wrong. You don't get far in life if we are continually wrong about even how to live. And so correction is necessary. I was at the mall with Michelle, it was a few years ago, and we were enjoying the lovely cuisine of the food court. And we were sitting there just eating, and a woman came by with her child. The child must have been about 2 or 3, based on the child's behavior. And he was having a rough day. He was not having a good day. And he's just losing it. And finally, his temper tantrum gets so strong, he just kind of plants himself down in the aisle, in the hallway there. And the lady's just trying to do the right thing. And so she keeps walking, "Are you coming along? Are you coming?" And finally, she says, "If you don't come, I'm going to count to 3. And we're just watching this, right? And she says, "1. He doesn't care, screaming away. 2. He doesn't care. He's screaming away. And then she turns around and comes back and picks him up. It's like, wow, you're never going to get to 3. And you know, you go, he's 2, he's 3. Okay, that's fine. It happens. It happened to us and to our kids. And but it doesn't work well if you don't do well in math class and you throw yourself on the floor screaming and crying, especially if there's somebody in the class who's that special someone you're trying to impress. Doesn't work well. It doesn't work well to throw yourself on the ground and scream and cry if you're in your first job. So we look at a 2 to 3-year-old, and as much as we don't like the idea of discipline, you know what's worse is being undisciplined. That's worse. I was reading a book the other day written by a very well-respected author, Scott McKnight, and he makes the observation that much of our Western Christianity, our life together following Jesus, has become juvenilized. It's juvenile, it's immature, as we cater to the lowest common denominator, and there's reasons for that. But what happens is our image of God, our idea of God, the God we worship is more a reflection of our own desires and our own values than it is the God who is self-revealed in Jesus. And that's immature. That's why Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. This is something God does. God changes the way we think. And our job is to let him. Simple. It's not always easy, but it's simple. Let God transform you into a new person. I'm more familiar, that's New Living, I'm more familiar with the New International Version. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. The idea that there's a pressure to conform, a pressure to think certain ways and have certain values. But don't be pressured. Don't conform any longer to that pattern, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is renewed. God renews your mind as we cooperate with him. I had an incident in September. We had the opportunity to go away for just a few days to someone's cottage. And I decided to go kayaking, and I had a little slip and fall on the dock that I thought was solid, and it wasn't. And I had two responses immediately. And the first response was, I'm glad I recently upgraded my phone to one that's waterproof. And the second one was, ow, that hurt a little bit. So I had a twinge in my shoulder. It wasn't bad. You know, it wasn't bad. It didn't prevent me from kayaking for the next hour. It didn't prevent me from kayaking the next day. But it progressively got worse. And it was about a month and a half later, where I could barely sleep at night because I couldn't find a comfortable position. I thought, I think I might have to deal with this. So I booked an appointment with the doctor. No, I didn't. Walk in. I walked in to my doctor, who has a walk-in clinic, and I was able to set an appointment for a physiotherapist. I've never done that before, never done physiotherapy. And I had, I think, 20 pages of paperwork to read and fill out because of new COVID restrictions and all of that, and agreeing to bring a mask and a pen and wash my hands and all that other stuff and not be sick. I agreed to not be sick. And then I went in. Before that, I had an x-ray done and an ultrasound. See, you can go to a physiotherapist, but if you're not exactly sure where the problem is, you need to isolate that first. And so got an x-ray done, got an ultrasound done, sent it to the physiotherapist. Physiotherapist can look at the report and see what's going on and give me specific exercises to strengthen the weakened muscle and sort of diagnose what the issue is. And now I have work to do. So on a daily basis, I should be doing certain exercises every day to make my shoulder stronger. That's where the problem was. Now, when we live our lives, I got to back up a little bit. The physiotherapist was saying, try this exercise, and I started doing it. He kept on telling me, stand up straight. Like, your posture, you have to stand in good posture. And I think I normally do have good posture. But I realized what happened is because of the pain in my shoulder, it was pulling forward, and I was hunching down. And I didn't realize I was doing that until the physiotherapist was saying, like, you got to correct your posture. And so some of the exercises, he says, your back has to be really straight, put your back against the wall, and you realize how straight you're not, or at least I realized how straight I wasn't. And when we live our lives, what happens is we take for granted our character. We take for granted our values. And so we're raised, we're taught by our parents, we're taught by the school, and then we get older and we know better, so we're taught by our peers. because they're smarter than our parents. And we adopt all these characteristics and values. And then they're also shaped by our experiences. And we have positive experiences that shape our values, and we have negative experiences that shape our values. And many times we go through life bent and hunched over because we have things that we've absorbed and we haven't even realized that it happens. And we're not realizing that as we're going through life, we're not standing up straight. And it comes out. I've mentioned a few times early in this pandemic crisis that a crisis reveals the weakness of the culture. Can a culture withstand a crisis? We're finding out to what extent we can, to what extent we're having a hard time with it. The same thing is true as individuals. When we go through a trial, it reveals our character. When things are easy, it's easy to have good character. It's easy to be peaceful and strong and loving. But then you're in the middle of a Zoom call or class and it crashes and you can't get back in. How do you respond? Then you have a client that refuses to pay his bill. What do you do then? Then you get out of the grocery store, mask still on, rolling your cart forward, just ready to get out of that madhouse, and you want to go home, and all of a sudden there's a big scratch down your car and no note on the windshield. Now how do you respond? Trials reveal character. I remember when I first was doing youth ministry here in Ontario after doing it for a few years out west, and the school boards were introducing something, a new part of the curriculum called character curriculum. And that we have problems in our culture and kids are not learning good character, something they should be learning at home. And so they would introduce these like 8 characteristics. Different school boards had different sets, things like, you know, integrity and empathy and all these things. And they would highlight a characteristic every month, and they would have quotes, and they would affirm the kids that demonstrate that. You could get a prize for being the most honest student or whatever. And that's good stuff. It's really good stuff. To my knowledge, they never told the kids how to do it. It's just try hard to do it. And it's the same thing as followers of Jesus. We're told you should demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Mariah mentioned that. We're not always told how. And so what we end up doing is we end up trying and trying and trying, and we fail, and we beat ourselves up. We hear the condemnation of our spiritual enemy, Satan, who one of his names is the accuser. He accuses over and over, you are not good enough. We don't know how to do it. We just hold ourselves up to a standard that we can't meet on our own. How do we do it? So I want to give you some, I think it's six steps today. I was going to try to make it shorter so you could remember it, because six steps is pretty hard. It's six things, right? Let's try. I'd love to give you 3. Not sure 3 is enough. How do we participate with God to leverage trials for the growth of our character? The first one is pay attention. What that means is when you're in a trial, you stub your toe. How do you respond? Pay attention to how you respond. By which I mean pay attention to your feelings. The one thing that's a bit of a... the way our language misleads us, and I'll borrow some of this from the Stoicism of the ancient Greeks, is we identify ourselves by our emotion. I am angry. Instead of I feel angry. You see the difference there. You are not your feelings. Feelings are something that you are experiencing right now. So when something happens and you're in a crisis, you're in a trial, and you feel desperate or depressed or in despair or other things that start with D that I can't think of right now, or you feel angry or you feel resentment, pay attention to the feeling that you have. What is this feeling? How am I responding to this crisis? Really hard to do in the moment, but you could do it 5 seconds afterwards. If you can do it, if you can head it off, it's even better. Pay attention to what's going on. Trials will come. Scripture says, be sober and alert. The devil roams around like a roaring lion, getting ready to take you down, and he'll use trials if he can. So the first thing, pay attention. The second one is let God lead. That's the difference between trying hard. That's the difference between frustrating yourself You have a trial. You're facing pressure. Times are tough. And we listen to God in prayer. I don't mean praying to God. I mean listening to God. We did a whole series, the whole Abide series, about listening prayer. How do we hear from God? Ask him to show you which character trait is compromised here. So whatever negative character trait comes out by itself, there's a reverse of that that should be in place in your life. And if you're not sure, just look at that Galatians chapter 5 fruit of the Spirit list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? All of those things. For every negative character trait, there's a Spirit-born positive character trait, which we call the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit grows by itself. And so the part of the point of letting God lead is to isolate the issue. This is your x-ray. This is your ultrasound. Find out what the issue is. And the important thing about hearing God's voice is because the voice of the enemy will tell you the 10 things that are wrong with you, or the 20, or the 30. Isolate the issue. Listen to God in terms of what he's saying. And if you can isolate the issue, if you can hear from God what the issue is, then find it in Scripture. And here's why, okay? And it, maybe you go, I don't know the Bible well enough. Here's where Google is your friend. I am struggling in this crisis, and I have no joy. You hear from God. God says, where's your joy? Google joy in the Bible, and there'll be 100 verses in there about joy. And when you find it in Scripture, let God show you which ones to memorize and meditate on. It's hard to meditate on something that's not memorized, but what happens is you internalize God's words. And when you internalize God's words form you. It's character changing. So pay attention, let God lead, find it in Scripture. The fourth thing is pray. And sometimes we struggle with this lie. I shouldn't pray selfishly. Jesus said, when you pray, say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Here's a secret. It is God's will for you to be mature. It is God's will for you to live out and demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. So you are fully entitled to pray for those things to be at work in your life. If you struggle with lack of joy, if you struggle with lack of patience, pray for patience. Pray for joy. Pray for love towards the person that you have a hard time loving, because God will answer prayers that are prayed according to his will. You are allowed to pray that. You should be praying those things. It's legitimate. See, we're transformed from the inside out. We're not transformed by our own effort outside in. What we're doing when we pray is we're allying ourselves with God's Spirit, who's doing the work. It's not about our effort. It's about our obedience. So pay attention. Let God lead. Find it in Scripture. Pray. 5, get feedback. Get encouragement. This is why we do life together as followers of Jesus. This is why we encourage people to be in a small group. Have somebody there, you know what, I'm struggling in this trial with this one thing. Remember, it's just the one thing. I'm struggling to find peace. Here are the verses that I'm reading. Here's what I'm praying for myself. Can you pray for me? Can you pray with me? And we do this together. And then when you meet the person next time, they might ask you, how peaceful are you being lately? How's your journey going? I'm encouraging you. I'm here to help you. Pay attention. Let God lead. Find it in Scripture. Pray. Get feedback. And then here's the best one. Anticipate the next opportunity. You know, our car needed an oil change. I didn't see that one coming. You know, our car needs an oil change every few months. Our car broke down, didn't know that was going to happen. Your car is always going to break down at some point. You will have another trial. I promise you. Unless you die today, okay? You will have another trial. So watch for it. Anticipate it. Wait for it to come and prepare. I am going to hit the next trial with joy. What's that one thing? What's the one thing that God has shone a spotlight on and said, this is the character trait that I want you to develop in your life, that I want you to let me grow in your life? This is what you are memorizing scripture for. This is what you are praying for. This is what you are asking other people to encourage you and hold you accountable for. Watch for the opportunity to demonstrate that next time. That's powerful. There are things that are so deep that something like this isn't maybe enough for. Maybe there's like really deep healing that you need. And I'm going to give you a heads up. We just finished our Abide Bible study, and we're going to be running that again in January, but we're also going to run the sequel. So the whole discipleship process is called The Way. The first part is Abide. The second one is Grow Character. And if you're struggling with some issues that, you know it's been 20 years, and you just can't seem to get a hold on it, Grow Character will deal with some of those things. If you haven't done Abide, Abide is a prerequisite, because Abide teaches you how to hear from God. If you can't hear from God, you're not ready to do the Grow Character part. So if you haven't done Abide, do Abide. If you have done Abide and you're struggling with these kinds of things, then do sign up for Grow Character when the opportunity comes. John 15, 1 and 2 says this. Jesus says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will grow even more. Fruitfulness is a theme in the Bible that runs all the way to the beginning. God created mankind and said, multiply and be fruitful. And we've compromised that with our imperfection, with our selfishness, with our predilection to violence and resentment. And where we should be fruitful, we see environmental destruction. We see relationship destruction. We see financial destruction. And most of the times we know what we're doing is wrong and we just can't stop it. We are called to be fruitful. We are called to be living the image of God. And when we do this, when we grow in character, we move towards fruitfulness. We become more like Christ, the true image of God, the sort of the correction of the broken Adam and Eve image. And we become, in Christ, we become more Christ-like. So growing character isn't just the burden of being a better person. It's you becoming a better person. Like, I don't mean like some kind of saint with a blissful look on their face that slightly glows in a halo. I mean somebody who's productive in the world. Somebody who has productive relationships, someone who's productive in their work, somebody who's productive in their spirituality, where you see God at work in your life over and over and over, and that's where you find peace and joy and happiness and hope and all of that stuff. Because that's what it means to be fruitful as a follower of Jesus. A trial isn't just a challenge. We also use the word for a court case. A court case is a trial, the purpose of which is to determine the truth. Determine what is right. And when we go through trials, they reveal our character insufficiency. They can correct our character insufficiency if we partner with God in it, but they can also reveal the truth. They can also reveal the right way to live as we triumph in our trials. And this is not just a benefit for you next week, or in a month, or in a year. You can bear fruit despite what the world throws at you. And 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 13 says this, no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. He's the starting point. But listen, anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. The rewards for corrected behavior, for corrected character, are eternal. You may be going through a trial and you go, why am I going through this? How long is this going to last? I'm striving to partner with God for my character to be corrected, but is it worth it? The rewards are eternal. There is nothing we do in faith in this life whose value will be lost at the end. The rewards are eternal. And the foundation is Christ. If you've been tracking with us over the past few weeks, We've talked about the deficiency of the world's ways of doing things, you know, resorting to violence and resentment and self-destruction. And Jesus demonstrated the opposite of that, that he willingly took on suffering. He willingly entered into the trial. We talked about this last week, embracing the suck. He went all the way to endure the worst trial for you so that you could be living the image of God, living the character of Christ. We have the opportunity to step into that life and to partner with him. It's a message of promise. It's a message of hope. And maybe you're watching, maybe you're here today, and you've never stepped into that. You've never taken that first step into this spiritual journey that is offered freely. See, the entry point is open to all. You can't earn your way there. You can't try your way there. You can't strive your way there. The life is available to you right now. And I want to invite you, if you've never stepped into that, to step into the life that God has for you. What does that mean? It means admitting that your previous life has not been working. It isn't working, and it won't work. And then it's believing that the life that God has for you is only found through Jesus. Jesus didn't just demonstrate the life, but through his death and resurrection, he made the life possible for you. And then finally, C is committing to that. You can't live the old life and the new life at the same time. You can't say yes to God, but I'm going to hold on to my own. It's a complete rejection of the past and stepping into the future that's God's life for you. That fruitfulness, that growth, that anticipation of eternal reward. And so we experience this on a day-to-day journey as we battle with the old nature, but we are constantly walking forward to life with God or in life with God that we will experience eternally. I'm going to invite you to do that, ABC, admit, believe, and commit to him. And if this is something that you want to do today, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I would invite you to listen to my words, make them your own. You can even repeat them and just make them your own words as you say yes to God today as he, because he created you to be in relationship with him. And you don't have to earn his love. He offers it freely. So pray something like this. Father, I thank you for the life that you offer me. I admit that without you, it's not working. And I want to say yes to you today. I am trusting, I'm believing in the path that Jesus has laid out, the door that Jesus has opened. And I'm choosing to commit to you today. I'm saying no to my past and saying yes to your future. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said a prayer like that for the first time and you are stepping into this new journey with Jesus, I want to encourage you to join with us as we follow Jesus together. It's we are. We're a community of followers of Jesus, and we're walking together in this. The easiest way to connect with us is to go to crosslands.live and click on the follow Jesus. Crosslands.live, follow Jesus. Give us your contact info, and we will get a hold of you and give you next steps. How do I move forward in this life? How do I learn what it means? How do I live it out? How do I experience that love, that joy, that peace? I promised at the beginning I would do text messages, and that's all of them. So we're going to close in prayer. I'm going to encourage you, if you're at home, to stay and pray. Even ask God about what is the one characteristic in which he would have you grow, so you can anticipate your next trial as it comes. And so we keep the stream going for a little while, and you can make your living room or kitchen your prayer room. And so let's pray together. Father, I thank you that every trial that comes our way is an opportunity to grow. And there are some that are going through great trials today, but we know that great trials provide great opportunities. So Father, we don't want to complain, we want to change. We don't want to stay stuck in the character of the old life. But we're asking, Lord, that you would adjust our character according to your agenda as we partner with you. May we not miss any opportunity to grow. May we not miss any opportunity to cement our relationship with you. Take the times and in prayer and in scripture and in worship that we would learn to abide in you more and more. And may we not miss any opportunity to shine your light to the world, even through trials. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.